We continue our study in Mark 7, verses 24 through 30, where we have the account of the Canaanite woman. The Canaanite woman whose daughter is demon-possessed. We'll be looking at verses 23 through 27 today of Mark 7. And we'll be in the parallel passage in Matthew 15 of the same account. Matthew's description of what's taking place. This woman comes to Jesus Christ for help. And when she doesn't get the response that she imagined, she stays after Jesus until she gets what she wants. She doesn't give up. She stays and she presses in, no matter the obstacles that she faced, the obstacles of her race, the obstacle of her religion, the obstacle of racism, the obstacle of rejection. The woman did not give up. She's a beautiful picture of perseverance and faith. She had to overcome many obstacles in order to secure her daughter's healing. It seemed that she met resistance to her request at every turn. Yet, she persisted until she achieved her goal. She persisted. Let us look at some of the obstacles that she faced and that she overcame by faith. First of all, the obstacle of race. Verse 26 tells us that this woman was from Tyre and Sidon. In Matthew 15:22, as I mentioned, the parallel passage, Matthew's account, Matthew 15:22 tells us this. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed. She was a Canaanite, this woman. This reveals two things about this mother. First of all, she was descended from a cursed people. When Joshua led the people of Israel into Canaan, they had been commanded to totally destroy the Canaanites. Look at Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 and 2. Talk about a cursed people. When the Lord, Deuteronomy 7, verse 2, 1 and 2. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Gergesites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. So here's the Canaanites mentioned. This woman is descended from the Canaanites. God says that the people are the Israelites are to conquer them, to destroy them, to make no covenant with them, nor to show them mercy. So first of all, this woman has to face the obstacle of race. She was a member of a doomed race. Second, she was from a region that was known for vile religious practices. This woman had two strikes against her from the very start. So first obstacle to her faith was her race. The second obstacle was her religion. She came to Jesus and called out to him and said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Here, she was a Gentile mother. crying out to the Jewish Messiah. She had no right to come to Jesus through the door of Judaism. She was a Gentile, and according to Matthew 53, Jesus gave her the response that she deserved. Look at Matthew 15, verse 23. And when we think of Jesus, we say to ourselves, how can this be? How can this be? Matthew 15, 23. But he answered her, not a word. He answered her, not a word. Here comes the woman, comes to him in faith. And yet, it says, but he answered her, not a word. She asked Christ to have mercy. O Lord, thou son of David. And he answered her, not a word. So she has the obstacle of race. She has the obstacle of a foreign religion. Now we see the obstacle of racism. When the disciples see and hear this Gentile calling out to their Messiah, they react by telling Jesus to send her away. They wanted nothing to do with her. She was not one of the quote-unquote dead people. In their eyes, she was different enough so that they could justify not caring for her at all. Look at Matthew 15, verse 23, very carefully. But he answered her, not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. You talk about enough to make you depressed. You talk about enough that you would give up. Here's Jesus Christ, the one that you hear about, that he's healing all these people, that he's doing all these good deeds towards. First, you ask him, have mercy on me. O Lord, son of David, my daughter's severely demon-possessed. So you get to Christ, you think he's the answer. And then verse 23 of Matthew 15 tells you, but he answered her not a word. And then to top it off, his disciples come and they urge him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Send her away. You talk about obstacles to your faith. So here she is, from a cursed race of people. She's from a cursed religion. And now she's facing racism. Disciples want nothing to do with this woman. Next, as Jesus speaks to this woman, his words appear harsh to our ears. You hear harsh words in Matthew 15. Look at Matthew 15, 23-26 again. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not sent except to the lost house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answers and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. It's like, wow. Obstacles to faith, causing you depression, saying, man, am I having a bad day today? The obstacle of a race, the obstacle of religion, the obstacle of racism, and now the obstacle of rejection. The words of Christ seem harsh to us, would have definitely seemed harsh to her. His words must have shaken her to the very core of her being. His words probably broke her heart. Broke her heart. I would ask you the question, if Christ spoke those words to you, would it break your heart? Would it break your heart? Let's look a little deeper concerning the details of this conversation. First of all, Jesus Christ simply ignores her. It is as if he turns an indifferent ear to her cries to help. Then he tells her that his whole purpose in coming to this world was to reach the lost sheep of Israel. When she persists, Jesus tells her that she is a dog. But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Tells her that she's a dog and that does not deserve the children's bread. The disciples rejected her, and now it appears that Jesus is rejecting her too. Another obstacle she has to face is reality. The realities of this situation are harsh. Her daughter is possessed by a devil. She's a member of a doomed race. The religious men do not seem to care about her or her situation. And it must have appeared to her that her situation was hopeless. This woman had some kind of faith, had some kind of perseverance, had some kind of chutzpah to her. This woman did not give up. Her attitude was, "I ain't leaving till you bless me." Some of you are looking at some of the same barriers today. Maybe you're a lost person. You know you need Jesus Christ, but you feel you have no right to come to him. You know you're from a doomed race. You've discovered that religion will not work. You've experienced the rejection of the religious people around you. Yet you still want to see your life change. You're still pressing in. You still won't give up. You're still digging your heels in. You want to see your life change? Then come to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ tells us in John 6, verse 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." You have obstacles. The obstacle of religion, of race, of racism, of rejection, the reality of it all. Christ would say to you today, come. Maybe there's others you've been praying and seeking God about matters that trouble your heart. You've cried out to him. You've asked him to do this or to do that in your life, and there has been no answer. You feel like giving up. Well, let me encourage you today. God's silence is not an indication of God's unwillingness to meet your need. God's silence is served to temper our faith and to remind us that he operates on a different schedule than we do. Our timing is not God's timing. What obstacles are you facing today? What obstacles are you facing? Persist in seeking the Lord, and in his time you will see every barrier fall. Your faith will not be defined by what you receive from God, but by what it takes to stop you from getting to God. Did you get that? Your faith will not be defined by what you receive from God. It's not what God has given you, but by what it takes to stop you from getting to God. Are you going to quit? Are you going to stop? Going to stop asking? Going to stop seeking? Going to stop knocking? You just keep at it. I've been praying for some things for 30 years, 35 years. Got to keep at it. This woman is a beautiful example of I'm not giving up. I'm not going to give up. No matter what obstacles that I face. Look at Mark 7, verse 27. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first." See? The woman, she keeps at it. She keeps asking. She kept asking him to cast out the demon. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first. But it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." As soon as Jesus speaks with this woman, he never slams the door of hope in her face. Jesus says, "Let the children first be filled. That word first was exactly what this broken-hearted woman needed to hear. Maybe it's what you need to hear today. Let the children be filled first. Jesus did not say, you cannot have what you're looking for. He says, I have come to the children of Israel, and they must be filled first. First. And she took that to mean, well, seconds were available. There's nothing wrong with the second blessing. You don't always have to have the first blessing. Don't be so prideful. Humble yourself. Seconds is fine. Second blessings is just as good. It's just you got a second and you didn't get it first. But you still got blessed. You see, these obstacles, they were thrown up by the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't placed there to discourage and to defeat this woman. The obstacles were placed there to mature her faith. To mature her faith. You see, in Matthew 15:22, she calls on Jesus based on his role as the Jewish Messiah. She receives no help there. She has no right to approach him on that ground. But does she quit? No. Matthew 15:24-25. She hears Jesus tell her that his mission here on earth is to the nation of Israel. When she hears this, she moves beyond seeing him as a Jewish Messiah. Now she sees him as her only hope. She sees him as being worthy of worship. She kneels down before him, bows down before him. Matthew 15:25. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Humbles herself. Gives him the worship he deserves and appeals to him for the help that she needs. And then Matthew 15:26-27 is some hard words when you first look at them. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. That's true, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She hears Jesus compare her to a dog. This is a hard text for many people. And it's a good text to study for many people. The Jews looked at all non-Jewish people as dogs. The word they used is mangy. Mangy dog, street dog roaming around the streets, no home. It's used as a metaphor for people who are unclean, filthy, and dirty. In fact, the Jews used this word to refer to sodomites and to homosexuals. Look at the Matthew 7:6 with me. Start at verse 5 of Matthew 7. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove that speck from your brother's eyes. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So, do not give what is holy to the dogs, and right following it is cast your pearls before swine. So you got dogs right before the word swine, which Jews were forbidden to eat. So when the word dogs is used there, it's about an unclean, filthy, and dirty dog. But the strange thing is, in Matthew 15 and Mark 7, the word for dog that is used is a little bit different. Look with me at Matthew 15, verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it, notice, to the little dogs. To the little dogs. Look at Mark 7, verse 27. He says the same thing. Let the children be thought first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. You have little dogs used in Matthew's account of this woman, and you have Mark use the term little dogs. The word that is used here for little dogs is different than the word that is used for dogs when describing unclean, filthy, and dirty people. Matthew 7, 6, the word for dog is different than the word for dog here, for little dogs. The first dog used in Matthew 7, 6 is for a dog out on the streets, roaming around basically in Gehenna, in the city dump, scrounging around. The word here is different. This word here means little puppies. It doesn't refer to the mangy, dirty dogs, but to a little puppy that is a beloved pet in a house. It refers to an animal that is looked on as part of the family. I always imagine that Jesus has a little twinkle in his eye. Do you really think, when you're reading this text, that Christ is browbeating this woman with all these obstacles? Does the image really come to your mind that he's being mean and cruel to this woman? Is that what your impression of Jesus Christ is? When you come to this text, don't you wrestle at first with this text and be like, man, it looks like Jesus Christ being cold to this person. With all the obstacles in her life, here's a daughter demon possessed, she's from a cursed race. Cursed religion. She's known nothing but rejection and the reality of her life. And here's Christ calling her a dog. But he's calling her a little puppy. Can't you imagine that Christ, as I said, has a twinkle in his eye as he says this, and she immediately catches the meaning. The image here is of a beloved puppy that's sitting under the table while the family eats a meal. It sits there hoping and expecting that someone will slip it a morsel of food. The puppy can see the food, it can smell the food, it knows what it wants is within easy reach. It just needs someone to acknowledge it and to give it a bite. The woman says, I know that it isn't right to take the food from the children's table. Christ was sent to the house of Israel. She's saying, I know it's not right to take the food from the children's table and give it to the dogs. But even the dogs are sometimes treated to a morsel from the table. She's saying, Lord, all I'm asking for is a crumb. Just a little morsel, just a little piece. She wasn't asking for everything. She's just asking for a puppy's portion. Can you see how Jesus took this woman and a small faith and led her along and helped her grow in faith? The obstacles of faith almost always turn out to be opportunities in disguise. When we continue to seek the Lord in spite of every hindrance, we will eventually see Him do what we need done. So hopefully when you look at this text, when you look at the story of this Canaanite woman with a demon-possessed child, you have a different understanding of this text where Christ says about the dogs, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. I hope that you'll look at the text a little differently now with the explanation of the dogs. One is a mangy, rotten, dirty, filthy dog rummaging around in the garbage. The other one is a little puppy at home. And Christ eventually, as we're going to see, he's going to answer her prayers. He's going to answer her. He's going to bless her. And the Lord is going to bless you also. Come to him in faith. Whatever it is that you've been praying for, keep on praying, keep on pressing them, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, keep on shouting, as it says in the text. She cried out. She was croaking. Just keep at it. Don't give up. The Lord is worthy. The Lord is worthy for you to keep on keeping on.